So we've been unpacking the vision that God has given Evident Life Church. At our elders' vision retreat, the Lord clearly revealed His perspective. That's His vision. He brought revelation of His perspective, of what He sees for this church. What His vision is for Evident Life Church. What He dreams for us as a local church right here and right now. And the Lord has said that Evident Life Church is a people of prayer, pursuing God and loving others. We're a people of prayer, pursuing God and loving others. And I know the statement seems simple. It's just a very short sentence. But like we've been talking about, it's not so simple. It's very profound, and it's important, and it's impactful when we embrace the vision, God's perspective, His plans and purposes for us right here and right now. When we get behind God, I mean, He can plow a pretty good path for us. And we can go places we can never go on our own. And be involved in things that we would never be involved in except for God. So His vision for this church, what He sees is that we're a people of prayer, pursuing God and loving others. So we've explored what it means to be a people of prayer. Talked about that 2 weeks ago. That we're a church that really prays together. We don't just talk about it. It's not just like a little cute doctrine. It's not just on the what we believe page of our church, what Evident Life Church believes. It's actually who we are. It's what we do. It's how we live life. We're a people that actually come together and we pray together. We're a church and a people that's firmly planted and growing out of what we call our taproot. That's the taproot of prayer. That's where the nutrients of the kingdom of God come from, as we get with Him together in that place of prayer. And so we are a people of prayer. And then last week, we explored the second big thing, big component of our vision, God's vision for us. And that is that we are a people pursuing God. Not a people that simply bump into Him every once in a while, maybe a couple times during the week. But we're actually a people that wake up in the morning with the mission, the vision, and the desire to pursue God, to do life with Him, to hear His voice, to be in His presence, to be about His business. So we're a people that are pursuing God. That's who we are. We're doing it intentionally, and sometimes and often a little intensely too. But He's worth it. He's worth being intentional. He's worth being intense over. If we're going to be intense about anything, we should be intense about Jesus, because He was pretty intense for us. The cross is pretty intense, and it was very intentional. And so we respond as a people of prayer by pursuing Him intentionally and intensely. Today we're going to unpack the third unique, very strategic component of God's vision for Evident Life Church, and that is that we are a people loving others. It's the title of this message. We're a people loving others. 1 Corinthians 13:13 says, "And now these three things remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is what?" Love. It's love. The greatest of these is love. Love is not an add-on to the Christian faith. It's not an add-on. It's actually the essence of our faith. I love how the Holy Spirit has intersected this message, this final message, as we've been unpacking this vision that He's given us for this season and for our church as we move forward, how He's intersected this message with the first week of Advent. And He's doing that through love. We're a people of prayer pursuing God and loving others. The greatest of these is love. And God so loved the world that He sent His Son Jesus to be the Messiah, the Savior of the world. born that precious, special morning. Isn't it great when the Holy Spirit just weaves things together in our lives? Doesn't it just give you confidence, man, that you're right there with Him when you see Him at work in that way? It's given me a lot of confidence this morning, so look out. I'm ready to preach. Come on. So let's explore what it means and what it looks like to love others. Loving others begins with loving one another. Point number one, loving others begins with loving one another. We're going to be in 1 John chapter 4, beginning in verse 7. And those of you who've been around a little while know that I get these little songs that pop in my head. And so I got a song that popped in my head from back in the day from 1 John 4, 7 and 8. And if you know it, you can sing it with me. And it goes this way. It's old English. It's old King James. Okay, so hang with me. Beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. Beloved, let us love one another. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. That's how it goes. Come on. It's a good way to memorize the Bible, by the way. Song is an amazing way to memorize and know the Word of God. So loving others begins with loving one another. 1 John 4, verse 7, Apostle John says, dear friends, let us love one another. Now, a couple things I want to say before we move forward in that. Number one is that the Apostle John is a self-proclaimed apostle that Jesus loved. You know, and now when you hear that, there's a part of you that goes, well, that's kind of arrogant, isn't it? That he would, you know, say, hey, I'm the apostle, I'm the disciple that Jesus loved. And I want to say, may we all be able to say that. Okay, may we all be able to know who we are in Christ Jesus. May we all know that we are the child of God. We are the son, the daughter that Jesus loves. May we walk every moment of every day in that reality, being able to tell those around us, hey, I'm the person that Jesus loves. I'm the person that He loves. And then you can look at them and say, and He loves you too. He loves you too. So the apostle, the disciple that Jesus loves says, let us love one another. Now, who's he talking to? He's writing this to the church. He's speaking to fellow followers of Christ, disciples, brothers and sisters in the Lord. So what he's saying is, we got to get this right at home. We got to learn how to love at home first. So he says, dear friends, beloved, let us love one another. Look around and just say to somebody next to you or behind you or in front of you, you're one another. You're one of my one another's. Just tell them that. You're a one another. You're a one another. All right. So, dear friends, let us love one another. For love comes from God. And everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. So this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His Son, His one and only Son, into the world that we might live through Him. Oh, come on, Jesus. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. So, dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Now, you know who the one another's are, and you know you're one of them right now, right? So, we ought to love one another, because no one's ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. Dear friends, let us love one another. Love begins, loving others begins with loving one another. Jesus put it this way. It's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 13, beginning verse 34. Jesus says, a new command I give you. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then by this, and what is Jesus talking about? Here's the context, right? He's saying by loving one another, by showing genuine love to one another, because you're patient with one another, because you prefer one another, because you show care for one another, because you're even willing to lay down your lives, give your time, your treasure, your talent for one another. Because of this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Love one another. Evident Life Church excels at this. This church is full of a bunch of one another's who know how to love one another. We excel at this at this church. We give to one another in times of need. I thought about that this week. I, of course, went right back to the Herbers situation that they dealt with when their house burned down. They had serious need, immediate need and interim needs and long-term needs. And this church got around with time, talent, treasure, whatever it took to serve and to give to some of our one another's right here in our church. Evident Life Church has got this loving one another thing down. Now we can always grow in it. You know what I'm saying? But we forgive one another too. We're good at forgiving one another. When we have disagreements and misunderstandings, and folks, they happen. They happen in your nuclear family, right? Well, they're going to happen in your church family too. It's going to happen. But when that happens, we're quick to forgive one another. And this is what I want to say. I want to declare this even right over. So we don't give up on one another either. We forgive one another and we don't give up on one another. We stick it out. Because there's great reward and joy in blessing in persevering. And sometimes the persevering is with one another. And that's loving one another. That's what it looks like. We serve one another. We carry each other's burdens and even carry each other's furniture sometimes as we move. I want you to raise your hand. If you've had anybody in this church help you move or if anybody in this church has helped you move at some time, raise your hand. Raise your hand. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. And if it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. You know what I'm saying? Valientes are ready for more people to raise their hand because they're going to move here in the near future too. Paul and Melissa Hill are going to move. They were going to move this past weekend and it was postponed a little bit, but we're going to have our hands going up, right, as we're going to come and alongside of them and help them. We serve one another. We do the heavy lifting for each other. We pray for one another. Is any of you in trouble? He should pray that the person might be healed. The prayer of the righteous are powerful. It's effective. It works. And so we pray for one another. But we don't just do this thing of, oh yeah, I heard your story and it sounds like you're really hurting. So, you know, may the Lord bless you and I'll pray for you as we're walking away. We don't play that game. We love one another. And so right then and there, we drop whatever it is that's going on. And when we have a brother or sister in need, a one another in need, we pray right then. We knock on the gates of heaven right then. We call up Jesus right then, if you will, on behalf of our brother or our sister who has a need. And we pray for one another. And we see God move in power in each other's lives because we will do this thing that God's called us to do. Actually, pray for one another. That's an extreme act of love. Plus, I do it right then because I forget sometimes, you know what I mean? Then I feel really guilty, and I don't like feeling guilty and all that. So I'm just going to pray for you right then. If it's in a restaurant, I'm going to pray for you right then. I've done this to people. Now, don't be afraid if you ever see me in a restaurant, and don't act like you don't want to tell me anything in a restaurant. But I love it sometimes when I'm around people that can handle this kind of thing, you know, and somebody has need. I'm like, oh, Jesus! No. Oh, I can be a turkey sometimes, man. Speaking of turkey, we saw more turkey on our hunt on Friday than we saw duck. We wish we had a turkey tag. I'm telling you what, it would have been like Thanksgiving all over again. So let me get back to this. So loving others starts at home. And when I'm talking about starting at home, I'm talking about right here in the family, in the Evident Life Church family. Loving others starts right here. If we can't get it right here, how are we going to ever get it right out there? It starts at home, loving others right here in the church family. Not criticizing one another, not complaining about one another, not judging one another in an ungodly way, but loving one another. It starts in the family, right here. But love keeps going. All right, I want to keep it interactive here a little bit because, you know, everyone just sits there and after a while your eyes start to glass over. So that's why I'm asking you to kind of get interactive, you know, so you can come into agreement with it also. So I want you to tell people around you that love keeps going. Just tell them love keeps going. It starts at home, but love keeps going. Love keeps going. Love keeps going. Keeps going. It's the Energizer Bunny. Faith, hope, and the Energizer Bunny. Love, it keeps going and going and going. The love that Jesus is calling us to moves out of the four walls of the church. Now, it has to be solid and practiced in the four walls of the church, loving one another. But the love that Jesus is calling us to, that His Word is pushing us into, goes out of the four walls of the church. Goes out there. Doesn't just get contained here. It goes out there. It keeps going and going and going. So loving others moves from loving one another to loving our neighbors. It's point number two. Loving our neighbors. Galatians 5 verse 14 says, the entire law. All right, you got my attention. The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. It all comes down to love. To loving one another. To loving our neighbors. It's the greatest. Remember that show, it's coming to me right now. They're a bunch of city people who went out and they rode horses. City Slickers. City Slickers. There it is right there. And that old crusty guy in City Slickers, it's the one thing. You know, and he puts up his big old bony finger. One thing. You got to know the one thing. Or something like that. I mean, I'm just shoot from the hip right here. I haven't seen that movie forever. Right? But the one thing. And the one thing that we see God telling us, Jesus telling us, the Apostle Paul telling us, His Word telling us, the one thing is love. It all comes down to, it all comes back to, it all comes out of this thing called love. Love. So who is my neighbor? If it's all summed up in a single command, love your neighbor as yourself, who's my neighbor? How do I love them? Sounds pretty important. I think I want to get on board with this. Who's my neighbor? How do I love them? One day a religious person was talking with Jesus. This is found, looking this in the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. This super highfalutin, nose in the air, religious dude was talking with Jesus. And he wanted to justify himself, it says in verse 29. He wanted to justify his apathy, basically, toward others. I mean, frankly, that's what he's wanting to do. This religious person is wanting to justify why he's okay, even though he really doesn't care much about other people. And so he asked Jesus, so who is my neighbor? You're talking about this kind of stuff. Who is my neighbor? And in reply, Jesus said this, and he told a little story. He said that a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. When he fell into the hands of robbers, they stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road. Dude, this guy's pretty lucky, right? A priest is coming along, right? And when this priest saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, Another religious guy. When he came to the place and saw this hurting, dying man, he passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan. Now, we talked about Samaritans and Israelites and Samaritans, Jews and Samaritans. We talked about that maybe a month or two ago and about how they were like arch enemies. They weren't supposed to like each other, let alone love each other. They would rather spit at one another than care for one another and help one another. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 silver coins, and he gave them to the innkeeper. "Look after him," he said, "and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have," because he took advantage of the little, what is that, bar in a hotel room? It's the mini bar. Yeah, he took advantage of the mini bar. So if he grabs anything out of the mini bar, I got that covered for you. I'll give you extra money for that. It's all taken care of. I want him to be at home. I want him to feel good. I want him to have what he wants and needs. Then Jesus says, "Which of these three, the priest, the Levite, the Samaritan, which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers?" Well, the experts in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told them, "Go and do likewise." Be like this guy is what Jesus was saying. You want to know what it looks like to grab hold of that greatest command, that thing that sums up all the law? You want to know what it really looks like to not just please the Lord, but to live like me? Be like that guy who stopped everything he was doing when he saw somebody hurting, and he served them extravagantly. He didn't just go the first mile, but he went the extra mile. He didn't just give a couple coins. He provided all that was needed for that person in their time of need. Here's the deal. If I'm out there in the world and I'm sick and you bring me a meal, I don't care whether you're a Calvinist or Arminian. I don't care if you're Baptist, Charismatic. I really don't care. I don't care if you're Republican or Democrat. I don't care. I don't care. When I'm poor and you give me food and shelter, I don't care if you're premillennial, postmillennial, whatever you're thinking about. I really don't care. I'm hungry. I'm homeless. And you're going to come and you're going to help me? You're Jesus. I just experienced love. Look, when you grieve alongside me after a death of a family member, I don't care which translation of the Bible you read. Man, we get all messed up with the simplest, littlest things, don't we? All the law of the prophets. The most important thing is, which translation do you read? Galatians said, no, it's love. It's loving your neighbor. What are we going to focus on? The Lord says this church is going to be a people of prayer, pursuing me and loving others this way. Loving others this way. Not arguing about the little things, but loving others in authentic, tangible, real ways, because in the end, nothing else matters to most people out there in this hurting, dark, brutal world that we live in. Real love is what they understand, what they respond to. And real love is hands-on. I could have thought about how neat it was, and I thought about it for 2 years. I hadn't been duck hunting for 2 years. And all I do is think about how much fun it is to duck hunt and everything, but it doesn't do squat unless I actually go out and duck hunt. I'm not going to get a single duck if I don't go out and actually do it. We can think about how wonderful it is that, yeah, we're Christians, and so we love others, and that's who we are. We're love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God. And I know I'm born of God, so I know I love, but unless we're actually going out and actually hands-on loving others, helping others, lifting others up, it's just a bunch of happy thoughts. So we're a people who are called to and actually do, even now, love others. Dionne Warwick. How many of you remember her from back in the day? Dionne Warwick. Okay, we got about half the room, and most of you have gray hair. So anyway, who raised your hands anyway? Dionne Warwick, she sang this song. Again, you just would have a blast sitting around in my office when I'm on Mondays when I'm writing sermons, because I'll just break out in the craziest, weirdest songs. And some of them I'm like, no way, can't sing that one in church. You know what I'm saying? But this one, Dionne Warwick, she sang this song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. That's what the world needs. She had it right. That's what the world needs. A church, a local church that will love them, that will come to them, that will stop when we see that they're hurting and bring them Jesus. What the world needs now is love. And this church, again, excels at loving others. Doctrine, what we believe, is important, and I'm grateful that Evident Life Church demonstrates solid doctrine. And the reason I know that we demonstrate solid doctrine is because Evident Life Church excels at loving others. If our doctrine is solid, then our love is going to be solid and visible and real. Doctrine is important because we get the heart of God. When we get the heart of God, we're going to live the heart of God. We're going to live out of the heart of God, and the heart of God is love. So we know that our doctrine is solid when we see it being exhibited in love. So we're people of prayer, pursuing God and loving others. We understand that the practical application of our love is just as important as the theology behind it. That our love for Jesus is evidenced by how we treat others. Our actions actually reflect our belief. You know that, right? Our actions reflect our belief. They let us know what's really there. Our actions actually reflect Jesus. That's what the goal is, right? That's how the design is. Our actions are reflecting Jesus. So we excel at love. We excel at loving one another. And we're always getting better at it. I mean, we're not all there yet, right? Does anybody feel like they're all there? You've attained it? You know, Paul said he hadn't quite attained it yet, but we haven't either. But we're pressing forward. We're going after it. We're loving one another more and more, and we're loving our neighbors more and more, because that's the heart of Christ. And that's important. However, I want to go deeper. And I want to declare that the greatest expression and act of love is not simply found in meeting a person's temporary needs like food, water, shelter, even praying for them and seeing them physically healed. Rather, true love is found in Christ. And the greatest act of love that we can do for anybody is an introduction to Jesus. That's the greatest act of love that we can express and bring anybody. It's an introduction to Jesus. See, if love stops with food and shelter, then people are going to simply be going to hell well-fed and with a roof over their head. And that's not God's heart. That's not why Jesus came and went to the cross, so that people could just be fat, dumb, and happy and go to hell. He came so that people would know Him and be saved and spend eternity with Him. That's why Christ came. As it was spoken of earlier, to rip that veil, to tear that veil, and to make a way for all who through Christ now can come into the presence of God and know Him now and forever. So we have to go one step further. We have to go one step further in love, and we have to show the greatest love of all. We must be a people who give Jesus. We must be a people who share Jesus and who introduce people to Jesus. We must be a people who invite others to join us on this journey and not be like, well, I got all my, you know, family kind of here, and this is all comfortable, and so I got it all set. It's all comfortable for me. No, we got to be a people who invite others to come along. Jesus didn't walk on this earth alone. He invited others to walk on this earth with Him. And we're supposed to be like Jesus, and we need to constantly be inviting others to come along. Join me. Come on, you got to meet my family. You got to meet my church family. Man, you got to meet some of these people. Man, they're amazing. They're giving. They're loving. Some of them are crazy, but this crazy fun. Man, some of these people that I do life with, they like hear the voice of God sometimes. It's amazing. You got to hang out with them because, man, when they get some of those words, it's just like you feel like heaven just opened up. We got to be a people who are bringing people to Jesus. I'm going to tell you what. When we gather in the name of Christ, the Spirit of the Lord is here. The presence of God is here. It's where people need to be. We've been sold a bill of goods. I don't know if you have, but I had back in the day, that it's cheating just to invite people to church. If you're a real Christian, you're out there getting them saved, cleaned up, and then you're bringing them in. Where do you read that? What's that all about? People need the presence of God. And when people come into the presence of God and they experience the presence of God, and you guys have been there, I hope you have, everything changes and nothing else matters, and you're ready. You're ready, man. Your heart opens. It turns from stone to it gets soft as flesh, and you're ready to receive what He has. And so let's ask people to join us in this. People that are hurting, maybe a little messed up, like you are too. I know some of you more than you know each other, you know what I'm saying? And we're all a little messed up. Well, let's invite them in. That's love. That's love. Let's bring them in. It's not come alone every week. We're not going to keep it to ourselves. We're going to bring others along. The Lord is saying that love is inclusive. It's not exclusive. For God so loved just a couple people, and they're all in the room right now. For God so loved the world. He loved everyone. God doesn't want anyone to perish, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. He doesn't want anyone to perish. God loves everyone that we're bumping into every single week out there. He loves them. Whatever they're dealing with, whatever they said to you, whatever finger that they decided to put up when you were driving by or they were driving by, whatever, He loves them. He loves them. And they need to know Jesus like we know Jesus. And love is introducing them to Jesus. I want you to feel the burden. It's a joyful burden, but I want you to feel the burden that your pastor feels, that I feel. I want you to feel that burden for people. You should feel that burden for people because that burden only comes from Christ. It comes from having His mind and His heart. I want you to feel a burden for people. That if we love Jesus as our highest treasure, and if we love people the way that He did, that we're going to desire to labor. We're going to desire to do life in a way that's going to be bringing people to Jesus and bringing Jesus to people. And I want us to be a people who feel that burden. And the burden that the Lord gives us is not too heavy because we're not carrying it on our own shoulders. But there is a burden that the Lord does give us. And the burden is a burden for Him and it's a burden for other people. It's a burden to love Him and it's a burden to love other people. And it's not too heavy of a burden. And we're all called to carry that burden. And I want us to be a church. And I know we're designed to be a church. And the Lord has spoken it over this church. That we are a church who will carry that burden. Who do carry that burden. And the world will understand and see that burden that we carry. And be transformed as a result. Loving others. It's a joyful burden. Those of you who have been used by the Lord. to lead somebody to Christ, to introduce somebody to Jesus, somebody that's then accepted Jesus and walked with him, you understand how joyful that burden really is. You get a taste of that and you want some more of that burden. You want some more of it. We're not going to be content feeding ourselves only. Not just showing up and leaving others out. We're going to pray, we're going to give, we're going to reach, we're going to go after people, loving others. So how do we do this? How do we live out the vision and mission God has given Evident Life Church? Well, not in our own strength, not in our own smarts. We're going to do it by the Spirit of God. We're going to do it by His grace and His grace alone. The Lord's given us all that we need for this kind of success, to carry this burden, everything we need. He's given us all we need to be a people of prayer, the real deal. He's given us all we need to pursue Him. He's given us all we need to love others and to love them well. So I want to share with you one of the strategies the Lord has given Evident Life Church. It's a strategy that will give us success in living out this vision that He's given us. It's a strategy that's simple, a strategy that's doable. You know, how many of you, and you don't have to raise your hand, you can if you want to, but how many of you feel like you're just failing at this Christian thing sometimes? Like, you know what? I'm not praying with others right now, and I feel guilty about that. Or, you know, I'm not really in any kind of intentional discipleship, growing, or doing what I've been commissioned to do, and that's disciple others intentionally. You know, and like Jesus had 12 of them, so, I mean, we're supposed to be like Christ, and so I don't have 12 kids, so I got others to be discipling and stuff, right? And so I feel like I'm not hitting the mark on that. I feel like I'm not really fellowshipping with people. We can feel like we're missing the mark. The Lord is giving us strategy right now at this church as He's giving us vision and calling us to be a people of prayer, pursuing Him and loving others. He's now also giving us strategy on how to be successful at this, how this is possible, how it's doable, how we can actually be like, woo! Come on! I don't feel guilt. I feel joy about this right now. He's given us a strategy that brings us together as one, and He's given us a strategy that includes that prayer, pursuing Him and loving others. So I want you to check out this video that's going to begin to unveil where God's taken us. Pastor Eric here with a reminder that the Lord gives us all we need for life and godliness. And with that truth, I introduce you to living the Evident Lifestyle. It's a lifestyle of prayer, pursuing God, and loving others. A lifestyle of inhaling and exhaling God's kingdom. It's a lifestyle of receiving and giving. A lifestyle of growing and going. Living the Evident Lifestyle is strategic. It has us coming together to grow in Christ and to go into our world. This enhances unity and relationships within the church. Living the Evident Lifestyle is simple, making it easy to connect and easy on the family. You see, prayer and discipleship, classes, groups, kids and youth all come together at the same time and under the same roof. This removes confusion and multiple trips to the church. And living the Evident Lifestyle is successful. This intentional approach makes a lifestyle of prayer, discipleship, and fellowship possible for everyone. Let's take a look at how this works. The Evident Lifestyle is a simple rhythm of growing and then going. The year is broken into three sessions. We have a spring session, a summer session, and a fall session, followed by a four-week break. Within each session, we have a grow time. This is where we come together for 12 weeks for discipleship, for fellowship, and prayer. And then after our 12 weeks of grow time, we have 4 weeks of go time. Let's dive a little deeper. It all starts with our grow time. Our grow time is for all ages and all stages. It lasts for 12 weeks, and the purpose of our grow time is fellowship, prayer, and discipleship. But our grow time leads us into our very important go time. This is where we get out of the four walls of the church. And it's also for all ages and all stages. Our go time lasts for 4 weeks. And the purpose of our go time is reaching out, giving love, and sharing Jesus. We grow and then we go.
Grow Time takes place on Wednesday nights right here at Evident Life Church. And it all begins in the church lobby with a time of fellowship from 6:30 to 7. Word has it, there are even going to be some free snacks available. At 7 o'clock, we move into the worship center for a time of praise and worship, followed by corporate prayer. And then it's breakout time. At 7:45, breakout sessions begin. They include groups and classes. There's a special new Kids Life program available during our breakout sessions for ages birth through 11. Even our youth life will be gathering during this breakout session time. There's something for everyone. Our Grow Time breakout consists of three different track options. We have a marriage and family track, a spiritual formation track, and a Christian living track. Each one of our three tracks consists of 2 6-week sessions, and you can choose a different class or group each 6 weeks. Now that's flexibility. After 12 weeks of Grow Time, it's go time. This is where we focus on reaching out to others. Go Time involves family-friendly outreach for all ages, serving together. It involves evangelism, downtown, door-to-door, special events. There are outreach events such as our district date night, movie night, or serving our community at the Gilbert Parade. We also have other ways of serving the community, whether it's working with the police or fire departments, with the public schools, or with retirement homes. And then there are the mission trips. This is where we go global. Mexico, Africa, India. It's go time. During our go time, we take a break from our groups and our classes. We take a break from the regularly scheduled Wednesday night activities, and we focus these 4 weeks on going. I want to invite you to join me in living the Evident lifestyle, a lifestyle of prayer, pursuing God, and loving others. A lifestyle of inhaling and exhaling God's kingdom. A lifestyle of receiving and giving. A lifestyle of growing and going. This is strategic, it's intentional, and it's simple. Let's do this together.
All right. It really is strategic, it is intentional, and it really is simple. And I believe it's going to be a breath of fresh air for a lot of people, a lot of families who have found themselves driving back and forth to the church from different youth things that happen here and other groups that happen here and classes that happen here and prayer times that happen here, and you're trying to make it all happen. You're trying to juggle everything. You want to be involved in the different things, but it just is too hard. Or you just don't know everything that's going on because it's just sometimes it can just feel like it's all over the place. We're not that large of a church yet. But, yet, you see how I did that? But we need to be strategic and we need to be intentional so that we can be successful at this, and so that we can be successful now and long term.